Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, we're so glad to be with you, and we thank the Lord Jesus is alive and well. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he will not be long before he will be ruling from Jerusalem, Israel, over the world, and every problem the world's ever seen will be solved. But we know this from the Word of God, and we're studying the book of Daniel right now, which tells us the future of the world, and we are not in doubt. We don't have, it's not a secret to God's people. And God has said there's no secret he has. He hasn't revealed to his servants, the prophets, which is, if we read the prophets of God, why, we know what they are. And of course, a prophet is not somebody that just foretells. Anybody can do that, or foretells, can speak, but it's somebody that foretells, tells the future. And they speak the words of God. And only the true prophets of God know the future, and all the fakes, they can't predict it. And the evidence is that they either haven't tried to predict the future. If they do, they're false, and it's been demonstrated by their predictions that they can't do it, and they're false. But, of course, the Bible's right on the money, as they say, and it's true every single time, and so we can trust in it and believe in it. And so we're reading today from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, if you want to get your Bibles, and we're going to go through it and explain what God has told us in this chapter. I'm going to ask Brother Al to read a number of verses here, and then we'll comment on it.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And again, just a reminder to the listeners to you can check out online at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. Learn more about Bruce and listen to some of the past programs there, and find some of the resources that Bruce mentions from time to time at whereisgodsword.com. All right, we're reading in Daniel chapter 2. Read the first five verses here. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 2, starting verse 1, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said unto said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill."
All right, and then in verse 6 it says, if ye show the dream, if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive the gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream, interpretations thereof. They answered again, said, let the king tell his servants the dream. There will show, we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, now of certainty, that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, that is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. Tell the time, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye show me, can show me the interpretation thereof. Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's manner. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor order, ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And, you know, I think we got to mention here, what do you say that the magician is, Brother Davis?
Well, this is different than magicians that we think of today when we think of, you know, somebody who's doing an act in a on stage or on TV or something like that. They're performing illusions, they're tricks, you know, just to kind of fool us, and it's for entertainment purposes. And most of them will be, you know, pretty open about the fact that what they're doing are simply tricks. But These are people who are engaged in, I believe, communicating with demonic entities, devils, fallen angels, and magicians in particular here. They used incantations, they had written spells, they would draw circles and pentagrams and various geometric shapes, you know, in order to work magic to accomplish things. You know, the rulers back then would use their magicians to help foretell the future, perhaps to influence how a battle would turn out or to help the crops to come out well this year or bring rain or whatever. And so there may have been a certain amount of trickery back then, I'm sure. But as a group of people, the magicians here probably are ones who are using magic spells and incantations and drawings and things, and as opposed to the astrologers who are looking for signs in the stars, much like astrologers do today.
Okay, thank you for that. And so you see that he has this court cabinet of supposedly wise men, and there's a point that God is making to us in this chapter, because you have these astrologers that go by the stars. And so they're giving advice to the king, and then you have the magicians that are supposedly contacting the gods or the devils or something like that, and you have all this source of falsehood. Now, I think that in the past, the king has thought that these people, maybe he had in the back of his mind that they really may not have had the answer, but now when the chips are down and he wants to know the answer, and he thinks maybe they were fooling him and they were taking money. They were on the payroll and they weren't doing really what they said. And you see today, you see there's so much in so many areas today, there's so much lying and so much trickery and so much going on like this. And this guy, if he's a dictator and he had the power, for one thing, he's pretty sharp. Most of these guys that stay in power, they're pretty sharp. And so Nebuchadnezzar probably suspected that maybe they weren't quite what they claimed to be. But now the chips are down and he has this dream and he wants to know the dream. So he calls them in and he said the dream's gone from him. So he doesn't remember what it is, but he says, I'm gonna have a test here. I want them to tell me if they're in contact with their so-called deities or gods. He says, I want them to tell me the dream. And so he tells them, tell me the dream. And at this point, they tell him, they say, well, nobody can do that. Well, I thought that, they were supposed to have been able to contact the gods. Why are they telling them nobody can do it if they were supposed to have these supernatural powers? And then he says, tell me the dream. And then they say, well, nobody can really do this. And he says, well, okay. He says, if you don't do it, you're on the payroll here and you're collecting money falsely. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to cut you in pieces and make your house a rubbish heap. That'll take care of that, you know. And so that's the old Nebuchadnezzar for you. So that's what he tells them. So all the whole group of them. And so this includes the wise men and later on includes the wise men, the astrologers and that. You know, the point is, all this stuff has gone on right till today. This is all going on today, believe me. And they have the astrologers today, and they have the voodoo people and the magic and the people are supposed to fortune tellers and the whole bit, the same thing Nebuchadnezzar had. You know, I remember one day I was in the parking lot of Dave's near where I live, Dave's supermarket, and this gal comes up to me and she says, I'll tell your fortune. You know, of course, she wanted me to give her some money to tell my fortune. And I says, well, first of all, tell me what I did yesterday. You know, she gave me a disgusted look and walked away. So old Neb, he says, I don't know if these people really know what, I think they're just fooling me. You know, so he says, you tell me that what I dreamed. I forgot what I dreamed, but you tell me what I dreamed, then I'll know that you get the real interpretation of it, because you could just make up an interpretation of it, see? And, you know, God is telling us, this is the message of God is telling us, the wisdom of man today, the philosophers and the scientists and the astrologers and the stargazers and the magicians and the voodoo people and all of this clairvoyance and all this stuff, they really don't know the answer. They don't know why we're here. They don't know where we're going. They don't know what life is all about. And you see this in the psychologists and all this stuff. And most of this stuff leads to destruction. I think of even in science, and this is included in it because it's always been full. There's some science that was influenced by the Bible, and somebody got the idea, well, let's study what God actually said. Before that in science, it was just somebody's theories that they were making up, and science was based on some theories, and they were pretty wild too. And they didn't get anywhere till they actually studied what they call it observation experimentation. So they study what God has actually put here, and they got here. But it's still full of a lot of nonsense, like evolution, which is total nonsense. And you know, evolutionists, they're very careful not to debate creationists that know what they're talking about. You know, when creationists go to college campuses across the United States and they invite all these evolutionist professors to come out, and you usually can't pay them to come and debate creationists on their own grounds of so-called science. And so the Lord is saying in this chapter, look at all this stuff is just phony knowledge. They really don't have the truth of it. Now, the next thing is Daniel here, he is considered one of the wise men of Babylon. He studied the philosophy and the science of Babylon. And so Nebuchadnezzar said, there are a bunch of frauds and I'm getting rid of them. That's what they are. And he says, I'm getting rid of the whole bunch. So you either tell me what I dreamed or you're going to die, you know. And so the order goes out, and they may have started to round him up and kill him. And Daniel finds out about it. He goes into the king because he's now one of the king's advisors. And he said, give me time. And so in this chapter, Daniel goes to his buddies. And in the chapter, they say, they go and they pray to God. They say, well, he got it together. And they had a prayer meeting there. And they pray to God. And that's one of the great points of this chapter too. And so God gives the answer, and he tells Daniel in a vision what Nebuchadnezzar actually dreamed. And as we get into the chapter, we find out that he tells him the dream, and Nebuchadnezzar recognizes that that is what he has actually dreamed. And then Daniel gives Nebuchadnezzar interpretation of it, which turns out to be a prophetic interpretation that will talk about the future of the world coming right up to our time. We'll discuss that in future programs. But he says, he gets his buddies together, and they pray to God, asking God to give them the interpretation of the dream. And so they pray to the Lord. And, you know, this is one of the great points of it, because God gives them the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And, you know, the people that live in the illusionists today, that live in a fairy tale illusionary world, the humanist, and in one of their declarations in humanism, they say, we don't believe in a God that answers prayer, you know, to us. Well, that's fantasy world, because there's millions of people that know good and well that God answers prayer, and he answers specific prayer. And I always thought, if I ever speak on prayer, and I have done it a number of times, and I've heard some messages on prayer that are pretty boring, but I thought, I am going to talk about where God answered prayer, and I want to mention some of that today. Now, God answers Daniel's prayer, and he answers prayer all the way through the Bible, but I think of some of the prayers that I have seen that God answers in a really supernatural way, and one of the things that come to my mind, when I was a teacher at Massillon Baptist College, I would ask the students to thank the Lord for things that he had done for them, you know, every day at the beginning of class. And one girl, and it's a good illustration, one girl came, she said this, she said, we needed a car, and so I asked my husband and I prayed that God would give us a car. Well, they prayed that one day, and next morning somebody knocked on the door of their house. And they said, well, we just drove down from Michigan. We drove down from Michigan, stayed in a motel last night. But we believe that God told us that we should give you a car. And so here's the keys of the car. that's pretty good. Next day, see? But, you know, that's a very specific answer to prayer. And I think of many times I've prayed for things and I've got specific answers where I prayed to the Lord when I'm laying in bed and I think, oh, my goodness, this is the power and of God that he could do something like this. I know one day where I had a car on the streets of Cleveland and it looked very nice. And it sat there all these years on the streets of Cleveland where they were stealing a lot of cars. It was never stolen. And then when the motor went out, it was just going chug, chug, chug. It was stolen twice. And the person stole the car and it was just chugging along. So they abandoned it, you know. I thought, now, isn't that something, you know? And about that time, then I started praying. I said, Lord, I need a car. Would you please give me a car, you know? So I prayed that way for about a week. And then I felt like, well, you're going to get a car. Somebody came up to me and says, well, go and pick yourself out a car. So I went over the lot on 63rd and Denison, picked out a car, and they got a checkbook out and handed me a check for the price of the car. But, I mean, that's specific. That's what I'm talking about, answering prayer. When I was in school, where they talk about prayer is something that changes you, well, that's fine, but if that's all it was, and I'm beginning to suspect that God didn't answer much of their prayers, you know, but I mean, I believe in a God that answers prayer. I remember one time why somebody in the church that I pastored, they came up to me and said, well, this baby girl, she was dying in the hospital, and she had a real high fever. And they said, could we get together and pray about it? And I remember going to the house on East Gray Street, and a group of us went to that house, and we started praying around the circle for it. Well, we got done praying. We got on the phone, you know, and as soon as we got on the phone, the fever broke and the child got well. That's what I believe. One time when I was a child, my aunt was taking care of me, and I used to get these terrible earaches, and we had some eardrops, you know, to help to alleviate it, and I got an awful earache, and she prayed for me, and the earache left, and I never got an earache after that. You know, God answers prayer today, and millions of people know that he specifically has answered prayer. You know, we could go on and on. So humanists, they live in a world of illusion. They don't know the facts. The facts are God hears and answers prayer. And, you know, if you pray a prayer in your heart, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or God the Son, and he died for your sins, and you know that you're a sinner, you got to believe that you're a sinner, and you come to him and you say, I believe that you died for my sins, and I'm willing to repent and turn from my sin and accept you as my Lord and my Savior, and I ask you to forgive me and save me and take me to heaven, then you pray that prayer to God, and you pray it in faith, meaning that you're willing to turn from sin, accept him as Lord and Savior, you have eternal life, and you can count on it. How do you know? Well, when you go to the store and you pay the bill at the store, you get a piece of paper in black and white that said that you paid. And I tell you, we have it in black and white here, and it doesn't matter what all the demons in hell say, what anybody says, or what a denomination says. If you come to Jesus that way, and you have to come to him, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You have eternal life, and that life begins right now, and it goes on through all eternity, and it's called eternal. God doesn't give you partial life. He gives you eternal life, and you have a life forever. And Jesus says, I give unto them, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Do you know something? That's how you, one of the reasons, too, if you've done that, and you've done it in the right way, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. If you're saved, you've heard the voice of Jesus, and you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. The evidence that you're saved is you're following Jesus. Now, if you're living like the devil, I wouldn't tell anybody like that that they're saved. I'd say they better start over again, you know. But you can know you're saved, and the Bible teaches that. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord is in there. You call on him as your Lord, you shall be saved. Well, anyway, so we have a God that answers prayer, and that's why the Christian, he's assured of it, and he knows it. And somebody says, well, I pray the Lord never answers my prayer. Well, one of the things is the Bible says you have to be God's child. Now, if you have a earthly father, when you talk to your father and ask him for something, sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. That's an earthly father. Because an earthly father will not give you everything you ask for as a child because it might not be good for you. But he answers your request from time to time. He gives you what you ask. Our Heavenly Father is the same type. Wait, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. Now, in this life, he may heal us a number of times, but we get to a certain point in our life and we grow old, and he says, well, I'm just going to give you a new model. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, they prayed for Lazarus was sick, and they prayed for Jesus to come, but he didn't come. And Lazarus physically died, but Jesus raised him from the dead. So we will physically die sometime, but Jesus will raise us from the dead in the same way. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But we have eternal life right now. And Jesus says, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And he says, no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then people say, well, I can pluck myself out. Well, if you're a man, you won't be able to do it. And who wants to? If I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I have eternal life. I know I'm saved. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He gives me good things. He helps me all through my life. We talked about that last week. He gives me the breaks all through my life, gives me jobs, heals my body. I mean, you can't beat it. And then when I die, he'll be there with me. Because he says when he goes through the valley of the shadow of death, he'll be with me, and he'll be there to greet me, and he'll be there to open heaven's door for me, and I'll be with him, and I'll be in more joy and more alive than I've ever been in this life, in total joy and peace forever with him. What a good deal that is. And he says, no man shall pluck them out of my hands. And people say, well, I knew somebody that was saved. Yeah, the Bible says, they went out from us because they were not of us. For they, if they had been one of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. This is a scripture verse from 1 John. He says, let me say that again. He says, they went out because they were not of us. They made a profession, but there was no possession. They didn't. There was no repentance and genuine faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, personally accepting him as Lord and Savior. He says, they went out from us because they were not of us, for if they had been one of us, they no doubt, that is without a question, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be known, you know, who they were. So that's what the scripture says, that that their deeds might be known. So it's a wonderful thing. And we know today that God answers prayer. And he's answered the prayer of millions of people. And they know that God is real today. They have fellowship with him. I talked to some guy from China at one of these fairs, you know, and I told him, I said, there's a God. And they brought up, because they hadn't heard about it. I says, yeah, there's a God and I know him. He said, is that right? He says, that's right, I know him. I know this God that created the heavens and the earth. And he said, also, he says, if he said one place, if your words abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, you know. And so one of the reasons prayer is not answered, because they don't have the true words of God. If his words are in us, and then we can expect him to answer our prayers. So in this chapter, he is telling Nebuchadnezzar, he says it to him later on, he says, these Chaldeans, the magicians, the astrologers, they don't know what's going on. And even the scientists and philosophers, they don't know. They don't have the answer. But the Bible has the answer. God has showed us the answer by his servants, the prophets. And he says all the secrets of the universe are found in this book, the King James Bible. And we can read in there, and it's our receipt for eternal life. We can read in there that we're saved and we know it. And the demons in hell can tell us, and they do tell us, you're not saved. But if we have come to Jesus, we're saved. And we can know we have eternal life now, and we will have it in the future. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.